Well, thank you for the introduction, and I do want to acknowledge some co-authors. The material I'm presenting today actually just appeared online in the journal Health and Place, so if you want to look up any of the specifics of this, it is available there. And we're going to be talking about sachet water consumption in Accra, Ghana. This is teased out of my dissertation that I'm winding down just in the next couple of months, which is also very exciting for me. So let me jump in. I guess we're using the mouse to advance the slides.
Enter.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Okay, no relationships to disclose. That is important to say. Now, Dr. Murthy gave a nice little introduction. We know that there are a lot of population pressures on our planet right now, and one of the side effects there is that from the latest joint monitoring program for water and sanitation, it's actually about 884 million people, almost a billion, that still lack access to an improved water source. I'm sure many of you are aware of the global water crisis going on. Much of the morbidity and mortality is borne by children under five, and about half of the developing world suffers from one or more water and sanitation related diseases. And as we continue to add a couple more billion people to the planet over the next couple of decades, again, most of those will be in developing urban areas, we're going to see these problems probably get worse before they get better. Now let's zoom in on Accra, the coastal capital of Ghana, and take a look at some of the issues that are going on there that are typical of what's going on in developing cities elsewhere in the region. Here, decades of overpopulation, even amid declining fertility rates, has resulted in infrastructure that simply can't keep up with the growing populations. The government's not been able to put down enough water lines, in this specific case, to keep up with growing population. And so what we see is water shortages, and it's not for lack of surface water or groundwater, but because of water production limitations. So there are only two water treatment plants, one on either side of Accra, and they just simply don't produce enough drinking water for the city. In fact, at any given time, there's only enough drinking water to supply about half of the pipe network in Accra, the capital city there. So because of those shortages, there's a rationing system in Accra, and that's influenced by both geography and income. It's influenced by geography in terms of if you happen to live closer to main pipelines or larger size valves, you're going to have better water access, and also by income. As you can imagine, the wealthier have better water access than the poor. So a response to these drinking water shortages in this urban area has been privatization, and the by far largest segment of that privatization effort is sachet water, which are these little polyethylene plastic packages that are about 500 milliliters of water, and they sell everywhere on the street in the well-to-do areas and the poor areas. They're always about 3 cents, and they're always available. And they've done wonders in terms of increasing access for drinking water to poor and low-income populations, but at the environmental cost of, as you can see, people tear the corners of these bags, drink them on the spot, and they end up getting thrown in the street. They clog gutters, clog drains, cause flooding. It's a huge, huge environmental nuisance and a really big hot button in Accra. And one of the reasons it's become so popular is these machines are available for just a couple of $1,000s. This is the sachet-producing machine. They do a little bit of filtration, sometimes UV treatment, heat seal the water in these little bags. They pop out the bottom, get packed into larger bags. They're on the back of a flatbed truck, and they're out to market. It's an incredibly flexible, nimble distribution network. And again, it's done a lot for increasing water access. Now, if we look at DHS data from the last three surveys in Ghana, we see this massive shift of piped water to sachet water, but only in the greater Accra region. If we look on the left at the percentage of piped drinking water, we see that for each of Ghana's 10 administrative regions, there's roughly flat or modest increases in access, except for greater Accra, which plummets from about 84% down into the high 50s. And on the right-hand side, we see the percentage of sachet drinking water as a primary drinking source has just taken off in greater Accra, far more than in any other area. So this is so far an urban phenomenon, but we're still originally trying to understand who actually is making this phenomenon happen. Well, if we look a little more closely, and here's where the geography side of me comes in, we look at the last two DHS surveys. From 2003 to 2008, we see not only do the extruded bars just explode out of the bottom, we see lots of areas where 50% or more people drinking sachet water, but when you look at income and you lay that over there, most of those massive extrusions map almost perfectly to the slum neighborhoods of Accra. So it appears to be a phenomenon, but poor. That's something we're going to look at in more detail today. So the Cross drinking water infrastructure covers most of the city geographically, but fewer than half of households have that yard connection. And again, the huge discrepancies between rich and poor areas. Now, the Ghana Water Company Limited, GWCL, has this mandate to reduce non-revenue water, and that's water lost to industrial processes, leakages, poor maintenance, pirated water, but they're focusing on revenue-generating customers, customers who are not just willing to pay, but able to pay. And so what happens is there's this self-perpetuating cycle where the water-rich get water-richer and the water-poor get water-poorer, and the discrepancies tend to increase rather than decrease. What that looks like on the map is you can see huge heterogeneity in terms of the amount of running water due to the rationing program. If you look just within the dotted area, which is my focus, the Accra metropolitan area, you can see lots of patchiness. And again, those lighter patches where there's worse access tend to correspond to the poorer neighborhoods. What this looks like on the ground, from my fieldwork, there's a lot of inequality of drainage infrastructure from a high income on the upper left to a slum neighborhood on the lower right. The standpipes rarely flow daily. They often go into the ground for political means and then stop running within a few weeks after the votes are in. And they're just generally these scenes of desperation where people are living, you know, in and around their own sewage, really with no good facilities. And here is a picture I originally took to show a pirated PVC line had been exposed to flooding in the foreground running through this courtyard that essentially is an open toilet, and there's a small, probably about an 8-year-old girl that had walked into the scene while I was taking the picture about 80 yards away from me. This is her open toilet. So this is why we're doing this work in the first place. There's no better picture of poverty that I've ever taken. So because of these water shortages, storage is a necessity, and people are storing water in these open containers, and there's a well-established literature on the degradation of water quality from the source to stored water when it is stored improperly in the household. Now, this is where sachets come in. There's virtually no safe water storage in Accra. We don't see it anywhere. Most of the safe water storage projects are going on in the more rural areas where people are walking hours to fetch water and things like that. So we started to think, are sachets a natural experiment? Is this eliminating the need for safe storage? And are they perhaps becoming the intervention? So here are the hypotheses we'll go over real quick today. The first, we're trying to find out who is using sachets. Will those sachet drinkers please stand up? And we hypothesize that it's those who are worse off socioeconomically that are the consumers. Secondly, is sachet consumption driven by that rationing process? And we operationalize that by saying slum residents are more likely to choose sachets if they have a higher degree of water rationing in their neighborhood. And finally, back to that potential health advantage, and we look at data for children under 5 and see if they're less likely to experience diarrhea in the prior 2 weeks. So the study design is based around a survey that was conducted by the Harvard School of Public Health, San Diego State University, and the University of Ghana. It was basically a replication of a 2003 addendum to the Ghana DHS. It was done by UN Habitat, focusing just on 37 areas designated as slums by UN criteria. And we went back to those neighborhoods and interviewed over 2,000 women whose households contained over 800 children, and we did the analysis in a multi-level logistic regression. We're able to partition the variance at different levels, look at factors that affect people at the neighborhood level, the household level, and the individual level. Won't get too much into the stats, but I will come back to those results at the end. Now, for hypothesis one, when we look at the households' primary water sources, we're seeing 50% of these households in these slum neighborhoods relying on sachet drinking water as their primary water source. And when we look at the characteristics of the sachet-consuming households versus everybody else, we see that across pretty much all of the significant variables that are starred on this slide here, the sachet-consuming households fall into the worst outcomes. In other words, worse dwelling types, worse access to waste disposal, lower income, smaller household sizes, and so forth. So we see right off the bat for hypothesis one that the sachet consumers, even within areas that you would think are pretty homogeneous in slum neighborhoods, are in fact the poorest of the poor. Going to the second hypothesis, modeling what is driving consumption of households at the household level and individual level, we see that households are more likely to consume sachets if there are more days per week of water rationing. That was our primary exposure of interest. The odds ratio there was 1.67, so we see a 67% higher likelihood of buying sachets for each additional day of water rationing. So when we start talking about households that are only getting a day or two per week. It's a huge, huge significant effect. We also see that sachet consumption is associated with inferior housing types, worse access to sanitation services, and having no children age 5 to 18 in the household, which is a proxy for smaller household size. When we see larger household size, there's a greater household demand for water. Naturally, those households have to go to other types of water that they can buy by quantity, not necessarily by quality. In the multi-level model, we see that only about a third of the neighborhood variance is accounted for, so we see a very strong neighborhood effect for sachet consumption. We see that where you live really matters, and that there are implications for interventions there, because you'd have to implement these interventions at the neighborhood level for them to have the best effect. What does this look like on the map? Well, if we look at the map here of mean days of rationing, so the red tones are the worst outcome, up to 6 days of no water running, and then we lay that over the map of sachets, which is the next slide. The greens should map up the greens, and the reds should map up the reds. And I don't know that I can toggle back and forth, but no, you'll have to take my word for it. They match up pretty well, and we statistically are able to demonstrate that. And moving along to the child data, hypothesis three, the notion of a health effect, we model reported diarrhea among children under the age of 5, and we see that it's actually associated with non-use of sachets. So families using anything else but sachets as their primary water source were more likely to report diarrhea cases among their children under 5. It's also associated with a lower self-reported overall health of the mother, which makes sense, and having lower household bathroom expenses, which we see as a proxy for worse bathroom access within those neighborhoods of Accra. With just 4, this is also controlling for rationing. We still see these effects. And with just 4 factors in the model, we're able to model out 77%, the majority of neighborhood variation. But we're only able to model about 25% of the household variation. We conclude that child illness is more influenced by household and individual factors than by the place effect. And when we think about our typical routes of exposure and risk factors, they tend to be behavioral things at the individual and household level. So that's, again, consistent with the literature. So I close with this slide. I like to think of this as a fourth world contradiction, because in these neighborhoods of Accra, we have the poorest segments drinking the packaged private water, which is the opposite of what we see in the developed world, where that's a luxury good that higher income people are drinking. So there are a lot of contradictions here. The sachet industry clearly is filling an important service gap in terms of expanding access to these neighborhoods, but with this huge environmental cost of all the plastic and the government not being able to deal with that. And so there have been a lot of policy options considered over the last few years. One's been taxing the sachets, taxing the plastic granules that are used to produce the bags, trying to create some sort of value for the plastic to get recycling programs going. There hasn't been any economy of scale to get any recycling going. There's been a very typical lack of governance in terms of sponsoring recycling efforts. And now, with most of the country feeling that sachets are here to stay, people are starting to think, well, could this be used as a further health intervention? So there, in some of the northern regions of Ghana, there are groups looking in areas where there's low iodized salt consumption. Let's put iodine in the sachet water and turn it into a full-fledged intervention. So the government's tugging this issue in different directions. The bottom line, whatever the policy is going to be, is to avoid further marginalization of residents in these low-income communities, and that's what this work is all about. Other things that our group is looking at is that peri-urban fringe, the middle-class neighborhoods that are sprouting up around the outside of Accra, just beyond city limits, that are nice middle-class suburban neighborhoods, but there's no water service there, and they're getting by on boreholes and water tanker delivery service. But as those populations grow, we know that those delivery means are going to be overwhelmed, and those neighborhoods we think are poised to be the next set of urban slums. So we're keeping our eye on those neighborhoods. And finally, we think that there are implications for safe water storage interventions. They work well at a certain scale in rural neighborhoods, but in an urban context, they need to work a little differently. Sachets are pretty unanimously viewed as an unsustainable drinking water source, but perhaps the appeal of the sachet is something that safe water storage interventions can learn from. So that's all from me. My dissertation work goes well beyond this to a holistic understanding of water insecurity. Again, this paper is in Health in Place, and I wanted to finish just by acknowledging the grant, the NIH grant from which this work came from, and our local partners in Accra. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.